As we have reminded each other in song, our Lord Jesus has given his life, he is raised from the dead, and he is to return. There is much written about the return of Christ, much written in our theology books, much written for us to consider and to learn from, much discussion, much contention. Much misunderstanding. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to ask you to first of all look into chapter 4 before we come back to our passage in chapter 2. But I want to look at verse 15 of chapter 4. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep in the Lord. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise up first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that going to take place? Do you believe it is going to take place like that? Do you fear that day? Do you look forward to that day? And if you are so bold and brave as to look forward to that day, what is it you look forward to? Have you thought about all of the things to look forward to on that day? As we started examining last week, the Apostle Paul looked forward to that day. And he looked forward to specific things on that day. And we often do not look forward to the same things as he did. Our text this morning will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read these verses last week. We'll look again at verses 19 and 20 because it's worthy of a bit more consideration. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Let's stop there and let's ask that question again. When the Lord Jesus returns, which this epistle deal squarely with, I read to you from a little bit later. When the Lord Jesus returns, what is it that will be our joy on that day? What is it that will be a crown of boasting before the Lord that day? What is it that will be our joy on that day? Paul asks, what is our hope or our joy or our crown of boasting before our Lord at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Father, we pray that you would give us understanding of your word. Help us as we consider this. For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen. I took my top five books of theology off the shelf this morning. I think Jamie is kind of like what's going on? She saw me walking up with those this morning. They were stacked rather high. 5 books on theology. Three of them have what all of them should have, which is scripture indices in the back. Show you where they actually quote or point to a particular reference of scripture. That made it easy for me. The other three I had to read, or Steve read, which is skim, as quickly as possible through their entire section that may apply to this. I searched these 5 of my most respected theology books looking for some discussion in the section on the return of Christ or eschatology to find a reference to 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20. 364 pages represented in those 5 books. Not a single reference to the teaching of this verse in the end times. 2 of them reference the verse to basically say, look, Jesus is coming back. And they quote like 6 verses, and this is one of them. Just so you know, some people ask me, how would you study the Bible? What is exposition? What is exegetical study? That ain't it. Just to let you know. Having a belief and pointing out, oh, these 7 passages reference it, isn't the height of exegesis or biblical interpretation. Fortunately, if you get into some good commentaries, biblical scholars that do effort with the book see this. But unfortunately, not only is it missing from our popular preaching, or I'm sorry, from our popular theology books, it's missing in popular preaching. It's missing in our understanding quite often about what the return of Christ will bring, and most specifically, what that means for us now. This verse, or these 2 verses, are not all-encompassing about what will be in view at the return of Christ. I'm not trying to say that they are at all. That's why I referenced part of chapter 4 and part of chapter 5 later. There's much more to it. These things certainly do not represent all of what will be glorious on that day, or joyful on that day, or a crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming. But they teach of something we must come to grips with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting? That's an interesting phrase, is it not? Surprised the ESV even left it there. It's being published by some reform-minded folks. A crown of boasting before the Lord. We're not supposed to have any of that, are we? Maybe this is an addition by some scribe later on in the history of the English translations that got added. This can't be Holy Scripture, can it? I'm being a bit facetious. For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Now, I read to you from chapter 4 and chapter 5 of this same epistle, just not too much further later, one turn in my Bible of a page. And you saw that on this day, his coming will come like a thief at the night for some, a thief in the night for some. For some, they will be surprised. For some, they are thinking there's going to be just peace, there's going to be just security, and there's going to be judgment upon them. Judgment is coming at his return. And there are others that should not be taken by surprise, as we read. There are others that know that the Lord himself will descend from heaven. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. And that God will raise up believers that have fallen asleep in Christ, that have passed away in our terms, but were believers, and they're going to be raised. And those who are not asleep in the Lord, that are still alive when he returns, they're not going to be left out of this. They're going to be caught up together with those who are raised in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. In two places, once in chapter 4 and once in chapter 5, these things are being described, and words are given to say, encourage one another and build one another up with these words about the coming of Christ. But we can't forget that Paul made a rather staggering statement a bit earlier in this book. For what is our hope or our joy or our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. Rarely, if ever, do we examine our ministry within the body of Christ in light of Christ's return. That has to change. Has to change. We have to recover this. If you can be a part of this great change, if you can tell others about it, I am inviting you to do this with me. We need to publish something, get it out there, let's do it. We need to Twitterfy it and get it down to a few characters and make it rhyme. Don't do that. Rarely, if ever, when we think of the coming of Christ and his return, do we think about ministry within the body of Christ and its place on that day. If we do, we think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is an important passage, but it's often the only way we really think of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, if anyone's work is burned up on that day, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So what's that talking about? What is God's temple? Not me. No. Us people. Us. And how we treat one another on that day will be revealed. It has nothing to do with my exercise habits, my dietary habits, my choice of clothing, or anything else. All right? I'm improving. My wife bought me a new shirt. Thank you. I got to get you out of this pattern. Just blue and gray and blue and gray and blue and gray. She did. The body is the Lord's temple. The body of Christ. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. We're going to come back to that a little bit later. Remember that. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying, as we minister to the body of Christ, you know what's going to happen on the day of the Lord's return? Anything we do that does not show forth the wisdom of God in building one another up, anything we're doing that's merely fluff or worse than that, is divisive, is not for one another's edification and well-being. Any of the things that we do that harm one another on that day of great judgment, it's going to be burned up like chaff, gone. There's a lesson to be learned there. Shouldn't be spending our time with things that are just going to be burned away. Is that what you want to look forward to that day? Oh, look, poof, that was my life. You with me? No. So, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved. And we often think about the coming of Christ and the return of Christ and judgment, and that's it. We think, okay, whew, Fortunately, I've got my ticket in still. I'm going to be saved. All of this stuff's just going to kind of burn away. And we never stop to think about 1 Thessalonians 2 and store up treasure for that day. Paul does not think like we do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? He asked that question, and then he says to the Thessalonians, to those whom he had ministered to, whom he had shared the gospel with, who he had spent time building up, and he had spent time trying to minister to them ever since he left, and sending others back and praying for them, giving thanks for them, praying that God would protect them and build them up, and being worried about them and loving them and trying to get back to them, as we read last week, but Satan had hindered him. They were his joy and crown of boasting. They will be that still yet when the Lord Jesus returns. Let's look at these words individually for a moment. The Apostle Paul says, for what is our hope before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Certainly, our eschatological hope is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You all know plenty of scriptures and plenty of my teaching that, yes, when Christ Jesus returns, if our hope is built on anything else, it won't go well for us. Our hope has to be that Jesus, our Lord, Christ, has died, has been raised, and will come again. I hope that song takes root here. I like singing that. Thank you, Rich. Our hope should be not in our works, but in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. How then does Paul intend for us to understand his reference to the word hope here? For here he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? And his answer is, it's you Thessalonians. For Paul, the second coming of Christ is the reason he was an ambassador for Christ in this life. Please hear me well. For Paul, the reason his hope of the second coming, that gave him strength to be an ambassador for Christ in this life. He does not state here his evangelical or evangelistic aim is to merely get people saved and see them in eternity. And that tends to be a lot of what we view things as, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. We want to hold forth the gospel of Christ. We want people to repent and bow before the Lord and acknowledge Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen to that. And we celebrate their eternal life. We're joyful for that which they have. There's an and to it, though, as well. We can desire to see them born again, yes. Desire to see them have eternal life, yes. But Paul says here, my hope is that when Christ Jesus returns, what he has called me to do here and now will be seen. Once again, when you think of the return of Christ, are you examining our lives and thinking, here's what is my hope on that day? I haven't polled everybody. I haven't done big surveys, but I've never heard anybody talk about it. I've never heard us look at the coming of Christ and say, I can't wait for that day, because you at Heritage are my hope on that day. Once again, not hope apart from the righteousness of Christ, but this ties in directly to the righteousness of Christ. We proclaim the gospel to one another as the hope of salvation. We proclaim the Lord Jesus to one another, and we sing his praises. And on that day, we will be there together. If we ever think about eschatology or eternity, we often think, okay, when we walk the streets of gold, maybe we'll say, hey, Tim, been a while. This is awesome to see you. We don't think about it in terms of the return of Christ, do we? Paul challenges us here. In Colossians chapter 1, go ahead and turn there, Colossians chapter 1. Paul is going to speak to those at Colossae just like he does to those at Thessalonica. And he knows they're suffering, and he knows he is suffering for them. And he says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. That's an absurd statement outside of Christ. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. He goes on. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for, what does it say? For you. Paul understands the return of Christ in light of whom he's ministering to. And he understands the stewardship that God has given to him in light of the you here. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does this help tie this together a little bit? Paul's saying, you are my hope. How can that be? Because he is ministering Christ to them. He is praying that they would be presented complete in Christ. Matter of fact, he says that in verse 28 of Colossians 1. Him we proclaim, who? Christ. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone complete in Christ. What does he mean there? Except what we're seeing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lord, you made me a stewardship that you gave to me for these people, to make the word of God, the gospel, fully known to them. You have done so that the riches of the glory would be seen in them, namely Christ within them, the hope of glory. So him we proclaim, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord? These whom we present before the Lord, complete in Christ by the stewardship given to us, the preaching of the gospel. What is our hope? It's the hope of glory, Christ in you. So this doesn't turn out to be some vain hope, some vain joy, some vain boasting as if, oh, look what we did. No. Lord, you gave us the ambassadorship. We were ambassadors on behalf of you, telling others about you, working out what you are doing in us through others, so that on the day of the return of our Savior, we may say, here they are, presented complete in Christ, the hope of glory. Do you see the connection then? That Paul says, I'm not just living here for the moment. I'm not just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm not just trying to be good and faithful. I mean, he was. But he wasn't looking forward just to the words, well done, good and faithful servant. He looked forward to that. But he fully expected that to be, well done, my good and faithful servant. Look at these, complete in Christ. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus when he returns? Is it not you? And he calls them their hope, the hope of glory. But he also says, what is our hope or our joy? What a word. Joy. I keep coming back, and I'm talking about us because this is who God has us together with. We've been together for a while. By God's grace, we'll continue to be together. But there's others. There's other saints. There's other believers. It's not just in the confines of Heritage, and we go through and we find our membership, and we know, okay, these, all right, you get me. This is the body of Christ. Those chosen of God and given to us in Christ that we may minister to, whether it's ministering the gospel to them that they believe for the first time or building them up in the love and the faith that is to abound in the body of Christ. The encouragement that we give one another, the fellowship that we have with one another, the comfort that we give to one another. All of these things that Scripture says are so important aren't just important because they made you feel better. No, on the day of Christ's return, we'll see the completeness of this ministry. And it will be our joy on that day. Paul states here that his investment in proclaiming Jesus to present everyone complete in Christ will give him joy at Christ's return. Okay, should our Lord give us joy at his return? Yes. Absolutely yes. I praised one of the hymns that we sang today, right? There's one I want to strike a verse on. It's true. I just don't like the way it implies. There are depths of love I cannot know. There are heights of joy I may not reach. Sure. I don't know what good that does to sing that, though. And again, I mean, Rich and I, we're good here. Get my point? Paul knows the joy. Paul knows the love. And he knows that when he sees the Lord face to face, yes, it's going to be even greater. But he never sings of it like it's not enough now. Or that it's something that we shouldn't. It's not in these terms that Paul states here. What is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? I don't know. Find out, I guess. It's going to be good. Sing about how we don't know. Enough on that, right? What is our hope or our joy or our crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Again, it's going to be him. Yes. But it also has to do with those whom we have been made ambassadors to. 1 Thessalonians later, look at chapter 3. Verse 8, and I read all of chapter 3 to kind of end last week because all of this is pointing to chapter 3. Let me just read to you verses 8 through 13. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. I mean, Paul's just going to keel over and die if one of them is taking a step back. He's talking about, this is my fullness. This is my joy. This is my hope. This is my crown of boasting. For now we live. Now he's also fixing his entire hope to be upon a time in which Christ returns. And then, whoa, even better. But now we live. Dear friends, live. Today. Now we live. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. You know the heartache when you see someone that you love, you've invested in, not walking in faith. It's brutal to face. It's so difficult to face. As such, sometimes we don't want to face it. We have to. Drives us in prayer, it drives us in ministry, it drives us in gentleness. I love the way Galatians 6:1. If you see somebody in sin, correct them in gentleness. But what about the joy that we are to have now when you see others standing fast in the Lord? Paul says in chapter 3, boy, now I live if you're standing fast in the Lord. You're saying we should vicariously be living through one another? Yeah. In a spiritual, Christ-centered sense, yes. For now I live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we give to God for you? For all of the, what? Joy that we feel for your sake before God. Do you have joy for others and their spiritual condition now? We should. It should give us great joy. We should reach the point of saying, I can't even fathom the joy that I have now because of you all in Christ. There are depths of joy I know now. And there's more to come. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you all? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. So Paul is saying right now, man, I feel joy because of the work of Christ in our midst. And I feel joy because we are ambassadors given for one another. I feel joy because we build each other up. I feel joy because I see Christ in our midst. I feel this joy, and verse 10 says, we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply anything that's lacking in your faith. So he prays in verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. So Paul's talking about while he was still alive, and he was still miles away from where they were in Thessalonica, and he is praying, Lord, I want to see them. I want to see them on this earth. I want to see him now. I want to spend some time with them. I know it's not going to last for this time on earth. Direct our way to you. Verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we abound in our love for you. So that, listen to this, verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at what? See the way this is working out here? What's going to be my joy, my glory, my hope, my crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you? Okay. All right. We may still struggle with that a little bit, but our eyes have been opened to see it. So now Paul says, man, I can't wait to get back to you while I have life on earth, while I have breath in these lungs. There's work to be done, and we want to be praying for one another, and we want to see one another face to face. And I want to encourage you so that you will be blameless in holiness established by God in these things, blameless in holiness, when Jesus returns. That ought to be the focus of churches, of our Christian fellowship, of why we are here. Say, Lord, this is amazing. It's hard. Yes. Okay? Can we all? It's hard. It's why Corinthians, that's what it does. God comforts us when we're going through really, really hard times so that we'll be able to comfort others when they're going through really, really hard times. It's hard. But it ought to be joyful. It ought to be filled with ministry. It ought to be filled with investing in one another, in building each other up. It ought to be filled with the desire to see each other face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. And that may sound like a derogatory term, and I need to come supply what's lacking in your faith. Oh, okay, haughty. Would any of us say, I could use some help? And what has God ordained to help us? The body. That's why in 1 Corinthians, don't you know that you all are God's temple? God's Spirit dwells within you? Don't destroy the body. It ties into the Lord's Supper later. Are you discerning the body of Christ? That he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. Why is this not in our theology books? Why don't we say this is who the church is to be and what we are to be about doing so that when the Lord returns, we aren't left with our theology books saying, see, I knew it was going to be pre, post, or off. Wow, I'm impressed. That shouldn't be our joy and our crown of boasting when he returns. So let's talk about that word as we close. For what is our hope or joy? All right, I mean, we're pretty good there, right? All right, it's going to be great. I long for that day. It's going to be joyful. But come on, people. What is your crown of boasting? All right. Let's solve some things in Greek here. The word behind that in Greek means boasting. Just in case you're looking for an out. How do we reconcile that with 1 Corinthians 3:21 that says, so let no one boast in men. And now Paul's saying, you know what's going to be my crown of boasting? You, people, men and women, here. How do we reconcile that? Well, in 1 Corinthians, what's being addressed there? Divisions in the church, right? Haughtiness, pride, those sorts of things. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul says, I have applied all of these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, so that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. See, it's sinful pride when we think, oh, I'm going to boast over my brothers in Christ. It's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I'm going to boast in others instead of myself. I'm going to boast in the lowly, the meek that shall inherit the earth. I'm going to boast in the poor in spirit. I'm going to boast in those because those are the ones whom our Lord spoke of shall inherit the kingdom. Those are the ones whom the Lord spoke of will be shown as justified by his mercy through his grace, through the shed blood of his son on that day. Remember in Colossians 1, we read this earlier, Verse 27, Paul says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone complete in Christ. This is what Paul is boasting in. Christ in them. Which is what he was given to be an ambassador for. And dear friends, we too have been made ambassadors for Christ. This is not a pretty sermon. This was not an easy 3-point. We had to just kind of hit the brick wall a few times, think through things, but I hope this study continues. I hope this is something that our hearts now say, I want to know what this is. I want to look forward to this day and the grace that is to be revealed. And on that day, I too want to have the Christ-honoring thought that Paul did. That those whom I invest my earthly life and ministry into, on that day will be presented complete in Christ. And on that day, we will have joy. We will hope for that day. And it will give us a reason to boast, not of ourselves, but to boast in the Lord Jesus for them. Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you, asking you would give us continued wisdom, any correction needed. Father, grace. Lord, may this not be just a study in biblical interpretation. Father, may it not be something we sit back and say, that was interesting. But Father, may it change us. Father, may it be the start of something powerful within our lives. May we not be the same, we pray, Lord. Father, help us to see that you have given to us our relationships. You have given to us the time that we have together. Lord, not just to make it through this life, but to have a reason, to have a hope or joy or crown of boasting when our Lord Jesus returns. Father, it is through seeking that which will guard our lives from having everything simply burned away on that day. Let us take this seriously. Let us take this prayerfully. And Father, may it all be done for your glory, we pray. In our Savior's name, amen. We're going to